Higher Balance presents The Optimist, Part 1 of 1.
Well, this question really is about kind of extending...
It's not it's on. Next question.
It's an extension of thought reflection in a way.
Considering I don't remember thought reflection, but anyway.
Okay. How much difference does being optimistic make on the outcome of one's life?
Huge difference. Absolutely. I've said this before. And there's been plenty of study on people who have a positive outlook on life, tend to have marriages that last, or we can say relationships. They tend to be wealthier, they tend to be healthier, they tend to be better off. But there was a huge study I read from people that were back in high school. They did the studies right up into the 50s and 60s. And people who tended to be more frowning or more pessimistic in life, they found they had a higher divorce rate, they had more problems with their family, they had more problems in general in life. Less success, less job opportunities, more struggle. I think that, you know, you have to keep in mind that your outlook on life is a projection of your consciousness. And you have to keep in mind that the people who you deal with on a daily level, call them white cells or red cells, are receptive to your presence. And they're going to reciprocate to you in a certain manner. So let's say that there are certain people you deal with in a certain way that have no means to you, such as people that you meet in the grocery store or in line at the checkout or the checkout counter. But what about people that you meet that you may have business dealings with, who may decide whether you get a promotion or not, or who may affect the ear of the employer to you, or who's going to decide whether you get a good price opening a business, buying product to supply your business, or if you're going to get a shoddy or a higher end price. They're going to react to you based on a projection that they feel. I think that there are subtleness in human nature that come from primitive man that detect these things, whether they be vocally or physically. I mean, you got to keep in mind that there's also these studies where people can do micro scanning on people's facial features where they can tell you're lying or not lying. Well, I think on a broader context, people can definitely feel you based on your facial content, let alone what your emotions are sending out, or what I call emo. So people are constantly receptive to it, and it's particularly people who aren't even aware that they're paying attention will find that they just don't like somebody, or they shun somebody, or they just kind of get a hair up their ass, per se, and just don't want to deal with you, or they give you a very quick, short kind of dealing. Absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, how you perceive life or how you project yourself, whether it be an optimistic or a pessimistic view, will have an effect on you. I absolutely believe that. I would say look at it as a psychic wave that's emanating out from you from several feet. The real question is whether or not, you know, you realize, well, I'm not a very optimistic person. I'm more of a pessimist, but I want to be an optimist. To me, that's the real question. And, you know, I think it's many times human nature to be a pessimist more so than an optimist. Because we're all struggling in a modern world that man necessarily wasn't designed fully for. I think we're evolving technologically faster than we are biologically to the environment. So this creates a lot of stress, stresses that pessimistic perspective per se. So I think it's more rare to come across somebody who's more optimistic and outgoing and happy and positive, and that could be biochemically they're just set that way. You could say it's a flaw in a sense, and they're just overly happy. You know what I'm saying? But somehow it's that projection of happiness that works out for them. I mean, you can be the meter yourself. Ask yourself, how do you feel towards two people? One who tends to be very positive around you and happy, versus somebody who seems to be more pessimistic and gloomy. You naturally are. Already know what that answer is. You're going to lean towards the optimist. So you can ask yourself in life, the general outcome of all other stuff is going to be the same way. People are going to feel the same way you do. It's a general genetic biological trait of all human beings. Does that answer your question? Is that satisfactory to everybody?
Covered a lot of bases here.
So the question that I had asked was, what do you do? Well, the answer comes back to meditation. It comes back to mindfulness. Everybody often forgets what mindfulness is. I mean, hence, mindful. To be mindful of your consciousness. Your consciousness is what the portrayer or the projector of your emotion is. So if you are mindful, you are aware if you're being an optimist or if you're being a pessimist. And the only reason that you don't know that you're one or the other is because you're not being mindful. If you are mindful, immediately you have some gainful control over what you're projecting. Although it's very exhausting. It's tiring to be mindful. But as I said the other day to some other people that I was working with, is that I truly believe that if you can persist for a certain amount of time to train yourself to have a certain perspective or a changed habit, okay, that it can be done. But you almost have to have something to remind yourself to read back, like a journal or something, because you'll forget. And we are all pebbles at the base of a wave. We are all stones at the base of a wave. We're all being shaped constantly by the environment we exist in. And as much as we try to be good, as much as we try to soften our edges, as much as we try to be certain things, inevitably the force of nature is constantly working on us. So we can call it the dough spiritually, but also biologically there is a massive effect constantly wearing on us, and agitation is agitation, and we're going to react. The idea is, how mindful can you be against that turbulence? How long can you endure, and is there a point that there's a break point? Well, I think there's break points, and it's like storms. Storms come and go. There's calm periods, there's stormy time. It's, are you preparing yourself to weather the storm, and are you willing to set your mind to get you through that storm? I mean, I think people who survive through crisis isn't usually the person who's most physically fit. It's the person who's most mentally willful. And has a survivor instinct inside of them, a desire to survive through something. That's the one who's going to make it. So the point is that I think that most people tire when they try to change the quality of their nature. I think it's white cell nature, and probably red cell in some ways, in most ways, in many ways, to say, I want to be a better person. I need to be a better person. I want God to help me to become a better person, a more loving person, a more compassionate person, a more understanding, whatever, whatnot. I think we all secretly desire that in our heart. I think that's our nature. And the reason why we ask that thing in our nature is because it's also acknowledging the fact that we are indirectly acknowledging that we don't think we're as good as we could be. And that's the point that you have to remember. The fact that you're acknowledging the other means that you're also self-acknowledging the other one silently. And that is again, that negative aura, or that negative field of energy you're emoting out, that you're not consciously paying attention to, you're not mindful to. So in order to change bad habits, I think that people set themselves, and they start out trying to change that habit one day, maybe 2 days, maybe 3 days, and then they forget. It's like the dough. They fall off in their thing. And I often believe that, gee, you were 2 days away from reprogramming yourself to making it into a new habit. And I think that if you can just do it long enough, like for 5 days or 7 days, if you can just keep yourself in that mode, you'll correct yourself. It's like constantly cussing. You're constantly cussing, you try not to cuss, and then you go a day or two and you're on top of it, and then you start to forget about it, and then you forget totally about trying not to cuss. So you've fallen right back into the habit of it. But if you could have just lasted 3, 4, 5 days, you would have broke yourself of the habit. You would have broke yourself of the mental routine of unconsciously spitting out your machinery-like habit. Do you follow me? So I think that most people just don't cut the endurance to change their perspective that would have made them into a more ideal person or more of the person they want to be. And by knowing that little piece of knowledge, one would think that it gives you a little bit more discipline to set yourself out with a goal. And having that goal is that Eric would say, set your goal for 7 days. Don't say, I'm just going to change it. Set a goal and a marker specifically to work towards. And if you can get yourself to that point, I believe that your chances of change are much higher. But now you've got to take in some other factors. You have to ask yourself, I've changed, I've stopped cussing, okay? But the environment I'm in, everybody's cussing. So it's a matter of, will you start cussing again? And the answer is yes, you will. It's no different, it's like biological nature. It's like if you go move to the South and you're a northerner and you have a northern accent and you live in the South for a year even and you visit your friends, immediately your friends will say, well, you pick up an accent now? You're sounding a little bit different. And you don't sound like a southerner to the southerners, you don't sound any more northerner to the northerners, you're already adapting to whatever that environment you're in unconsciously. You're constantly picking up stuff. So to be mindful is to be aware of that, or try to be aware of that. I always say it's a very simple thing. It always comes down to the rubber band on your hand. You know, I don't care. Maybe you should just say mindful on it. And you need to just snap it and just try to be conscious of the now. I mean, all the things that I've taught say these things over and over and over again. But it's the question is what can you do to bring yourself back to the moment, to recenter yourself? That's mindfulness. And it's self-awareness. It's self-consciousness. And I think the biggest point is don't be brutal on yourself. You know it's very difficult. Acknowledge your small steps, because to see monumental steps almost never happen. So you'll be waiting forever. If you acknowledge your little successes, you'll find that you've made a huge success. In the end, you'll be able to see it better. Does that work for everybody? Does that make sense?
Can I take it into a direction?
Sure. I'm trying to figure out what I do with that coffee. Can you hand that to me, please?
Okay.